Leila, in my respective interview, I did make it visible that I did like the city, upcoming. And upcoming are staying around 1 o'clock. That was my city in our city board, because the open city is in our city. And then there was me, agree to my suggestion that the open city has saving upcoming around 1 o'clock.
Thank you, Kat. The presentation is on the program with regard to the construction of the immovable habitat for the program. As the chair, Mr. Mpendwe Kokwanzulo will make the presentation, some aspects will be shared with my colleague on the right, Ms. Brown. I will now hand over to Mr. Kokwanzulo to start the presentation.
Thanks, DG. Again, morning to the chairperson and also the members of the full committee. Starting with regards to the late distribution, I take full responsibility for that, and I'll leave it to the Director General to take appropriate action and appropriate discussion for that. Members of the committee, I've taken the liberty of bringing along the previous presentation that was tabled in August last year. I've put a copy in front of every case, and I just get a confirmation that it's in front of everybody. Was it as part of my preamble, I want to make reference to the executive summary page so I can give a context of how the presentation links up to the previous presentation. Can I get a confirmation if anybody's got a copy of last year's presentation? Okay.
Is it the one?
Yes, ma'am. Members of the Portfolio Committee, I'm making reference to this executive summary because there are a lot of things we said that we're busy doing and will be doing, and I want to have a reflection in terms of saying what have we achieved since then and what has not been achieved since then, so there can be a context and a link up to the presentation as follows. There are about 10 items that we dealt with and we presented and said that we will have done chasing March 2013. And at the target in 2013. Out of these 10 items, 4 of them have not been achieved. And I want to bring a context to those areas why they have not been achieved before I get to my presentation. The third bullet on the top of that executive summary page.
The one that has been distributed right now, though the font is small, is referring to this one.
With respect to the definition of a fair value model, which will be applied to properties as carrying value going forward, that has not been done yet. So that I just want to put that into perspective, that is one of the areas that we have not managed to accomplish yet. The bullet following that deals with two items. The one, defining a new operating model to better manage the immovable asset register, and the second component, public works concurrent mandates going forward. With respect to defining of the new operating model to better manage the removal asset register, it has been defined, but it's in process for management of public works for final approval. But the second component of that, in terms of defining public works and current mandate going forward, that has not been done, that is still work in progress. The same bullet down from that, it deals with the aspect of a gap identified indicating that indicates the amount of work that is required in order to comply with national treasury and audit requirements. The completion of that particular process has not been completed, so that has not been done yet. I multiply two. Negative summary here. Honorable members, what you will notice, third bullet down from the bottom, the claims data that will form the basis of physical inspection from October 2012 to August 2013 to confirm information required to comply with the requirements. That did not start in envisaged date of October 12th. It is 5 months behind, excluding December. It will commence on the 1st of May. Now, honorable members, the purpose of me starting with what we think will be done as we presented last year in August is to give a picture of the 10-point area as a key to make our progress. We've managed what we see with them and are just going through the four areas that we've not managed to achieve progress on. But if they haven't improved progress, it's been at various levels of achievement. That's the point I wanted to link up on. So that when I enter the presentation for today, there's a context of where we are. And you can understand our presentation with regards to, say, where are we really moving after this is the project. Of course, all right. Members, I just now want to refer back now to the presentation as prepared for today. I think we want to reconfirm where the project started from. It started in November 2011. And that we had set out a process of appointing a PMO, which has started since that date and we've been implementing the program. What is important that I think needs to be noted as a consequence of the first bullet is that at the time of last year's presentation, the turnaround program had not started to commence with the department. Now we have a situation where the turnaround program has commenced with the department and it has been imposed on top of the program. Now, when you do look on the subsequent slide that will follow, which will be slide number 5 when we get to it, you will see at the bottom there's an introduction of a new statement that speaks to stabilization phase and an efficiency phase. The importance of this is to note that the targets that were set out for March 2014 have not changed. Those are still the targets that we're still working towards. But within the context of the turnaround, once we've got an asset registered that meets the audit requirements, as required so that it can meet the 5 assertion requirements that deal with accuracy, completeness, what are the other ones called? Existence, validity, and writing obligation. That is the purpose of what we're facing in 2014. We are still pursuing that. What I've related with respect to what you said we should have achieved with respect to the 4 other indicators. The most important one is the one that deals with physical verification that should have started last in 2012. It will only start on the 1st of May. That is an account of bureaucratic problems and also issues within the department that we are trying to manage. And as a context for this, public workers are the way to turn around. And we're not going to use this as an excuse, but to provide an explanation as to why we are 5 months behind, excluding December, with respect to that particular aspect, to complete the particular work. I think I've dealt with the second bullet that deals with the focus around completeness, which deals with the registered land parcel. And I want to make the point that we're dealing with registered land parcels. We are not dealing with unregistered land parcels. But however, there is a process that has started with the Chief Surveyor General so that we can reach a way of tracking the development of what happens in all the land that is not registered. Extensive consultation has also taken place between the provinces through the meeting structures to resolve issues that relate to the issues of vesting that we have not made the required progress against. Why is this important? This is important because if you look at the requirements of the Office of the Accountant General, any properties that are not on the asset register of any of the other custodians must be reflected on the register of public works. Now, if you look at those particular requirements, the most important thing to note is that from a legal framework perspective, the other custodian can legally claim, and I want to emphasize the point because I've made the same emphasis at the SDOP. If I was a provincial department, I don't want to name any of public works, and I know there is a hospital that is not on my asset register, I can still say legally say my asset register is complete because I have no legal requirement to refuse the putting in of that particular asset in the register, in as far as completeness is concerned. Then it becomes public works property. Linked to that is the issue of property rates and taxes that need to be paid. We have to go into an extensive exercise with the minister to engage all the provincial structures that they must prepare for the devolution of that function in terms of the payment of rates and taxes. Because we have come to the conclusion that says, up until provinces have a pushing motive for them to push their vetting process to completion, even beyond the legal requirements in terms of what they need to declare in the removal asset register, they need to have a pushing motive, and that pushing motive is for them to take ownership and responsibility for the payment of their own property rates and taxes. We have disagreements with National Assembly in regard as that is concerned, and the devolution is going to happen as of the beginning of the financial year. Now that puts now the pushing motive for the provinces to ensure that their vesting processes are completed and remove the onerous obligation on public works to declare assets that are not reflected in other custodians registered on their register. And I think that's a very important point to make in terms of the engagement of moving the vesting process forward, because it was not moving forward. The existing data has been claimed in reference to the asset records and the structures within PMIS have been linked in preparation for the physical inspection. That is a desktop exercise work that we have been doing to ensure that the basis on which we are working on when we're saying there's our removal after the debate is actually favorable. And that requires a process where we need to reconcile against the country's authority on this matter and competency, which is the police office. So we are by and large are completing that particular process. It's already been completed as of November of last year. We're doing now a second round of reconciliation. Why are we emphasizing this particular point of reconciliation? In a real economy, transactions are happening on a daily basis, even as we're speaking today. People are buying property and exchanging property. The state is doing the same. The private citizens are doing the same. So we need to run this refresher round with respect to reconciliation. So we have completed that process that speaks to the numbers to say, do we know clearly what is deemed to be national, what is deemed to be provincial, or any other custodian in the form of rural development? Florence will speak to those numbers as confirmed by the last reconciliation that ran last year, which was completed. It's part of the items of things we have completed, part of the work we said is complete. Now we're doing another reconciliation in preparation for the physical verification so that we can deal with the adaptation requirements. The custodian framework has been prepared and is also in the process of being revised to incorporate discoveries that have been made as the project has progressed. Now, I would like to reflect on some of the discoveries that have been made so that we know some of the things that are putting in, which I will dwell in when I deal with the slide 5 that speaks to progress and how we integrate some of the issues we're picking up from the turnaround. When they are dealing with the numbers, when Florence deals with the numbers, she will show you what we have already identified as properties that have given us reason to say they need to be investigated. Because they have transacted hands from the public sector into the private sector. They are about an odd of plus minus 5,000 properties. Thank you. Some of the discoveries that we're dealing with will, Florence will share with you some of the items we've already discovered. Around 5,000 properties, in terms of what we can recon against the deed register, are speaking to properties that we're saying should be investigated because we cannot find clear auditable records that show their transaction in terms of movement from public sector into private hands. So these are some of the discoveries that we're making, but I'll allude to some of them when I deal with the short that you will approach to make today. Next slide. The other point which I want to emphasize to the comment here as part of the background is that we have not neglected the work that has been done previously by other institutions, including defense as an example, art and culture as others. And what we're trying to basically indicate there is that where work they have done that has been assessed to be credible, we're taking that work in. And the critical example we want to use there is the defense asset management plans, where they've done all the work that we require and meet the minimum requirements in terms of asset register and even go above the minimum requirements that are required for complete asset register in as far as the defense portfolio is concerned. So we have collected all of that information, and we are also working with the Board of Rural Development to complete the other set that speaks to the properties that have been developed on unregistered land and so forth. The other point I think we'd like to make is that once the process is actually completed, one of the aspects we are raising is that the Public Works Asset Register will ultimately be linked to the CSG cadastral project to permit online updating when it comes to the land records as transactions happen when it comes live. But the CSG is the Chief Surveyor General, the person who's responsible for the cadastral system of South Africa and who owns what parcels of land. What is also important about this aspect here is that you must remember that we're operating on the basis of a PMIS system, which stands for Property Management Information System. That is a legacy system of Public Works. We have agreed that we will migrate to, what is the English word, Robin? What do you call IE Works? Where we're going to deposit. The what? Okay. We're calling it a static topic. We will be migrating information in terms of everything that has been verified, because PMIS has control issues, and we need to migrate away from that particular platform. IE Works has been identified and agreed, not only by Public Works, but also by the conferences, that we need to move to a common platform. As we have corrected the errors we picked up in the asset register, we can't allow that as transactions are happening that it becomes polluted again. So we will be running parallel systems where you will have IE Works that will be taking on board all the claims data from PMIS on board on IE Works up until the new operating model starts to kick in and is approved in terms of the change management process. So that whatever we migrate onwards forward, after we've reached the target requirements of March 2014, we can start to run and operate an asset register that will not be polluted. The last point I just want to reflect on in terms of background is the aspect around, I think I've touched on it, what we are learning from the recon process. But when it comes to the question that was raised with respect to Operation Bring Back, the asset register team has reflected on this particular aspect. What are we going to do with Operation Bring Back? Was Operation Bring Back firstly properly conceived? That was a major question that we had to ask ourselves. Did Operation Bring Back actually yield any useful results? I'll start from the back. Operation Bring Back did not yield useful results. But where are we? We need to go back to the drawing board and ask the question, was it conceptualized correctly? It moved from a premise and an assumption that the issues we're dealing with when it comes to the asset register primarily affected the former TBVC site. And I want to put it on record that that was a wrong assumption. To assume that the only problems we have when it comes to the asset register pertain only to the former TBVC site. The issue when we speak to Operation Bring Back has to be broader, even outside of the sphere of the public service. I'm making that point because there will have to be a role at some point or another in discussion with the intelligence community to come to say what has happened to properties that they have operated outside of the system, when I say outside of the system, outside of the public service. So we need to move from a well-founded place of firstly saying that one, there are international properties that we need to recon for within the public service and also within the intelligence community. That's a discussion that has not started, but that is what the team has been discussing. I would want to move from the premise that members of parliament would know what happened in this country by 1994. There were operations like which were named Stratcom as an example. Now Stratcom operated within the, being embedded within the public service, but operating particular intelligence operations and acquired particular assets and properties. Obviously, we will not go into those details now because we are not allowed to disclose that information, but it is something we will engage with when we engage the intelligence community. Secondly, when you look within the Republic of South Africa, and prior 1994, some of the transactions we're speaking about relate to the odd 5,000 transactions happened within the RSA by and large that need to be investigated. They were not EBPC transactions. Primarily, the issue when you are looking at the former TBBC states is the issue of unsurveyed and unregistered land. That is the complication, by and large. I'm not saying it's a sweeping statement across all of the CS that affect us, but those are the particular issues. So that is what I wanted to reflect on when it comes to Operation Bring Back. It's about making sure that when we look at it, we look at it holistically. We are not prejudicing a particular part of South Africa without looking at everything else holistically. Now,
the next slide.
In the introduction, I dealt with the issue of the superimposement and the introduction of the turnaround when it comes to this particular project.
At the bottom of that
slide, and in front of your presentation, unfortunately, I want to apologize, we don't have color copies. It's something we will rectify so that we have color copies going forward. But the bottom row that speaks to key milestones, it's got a subdivision of stabilization and it's got another subdivision of efficiency management. If you were to draw a line from where you see on the top from March 14 down up until that second block at the bottom, I want to re-emphasize the point that the targets we set ourselves for an immovable asset register that passes the audit test is still the target. It has not changed. Why have we included additional years from 2014 up to 2019? It is what the turnaround strategy is terming the efficiency management phase. How then you start to operationalize this new immovable asset register so that it informs the business of the department from one aspect, from the aspect of billing, from ensuring that Operation Bring Back actually starts to report back, from an aspect of saying we've made a determination that actually fair value model can actually work up until the point we've completed audit completeness issues, it can be applied at that particular point. Now, that is the meaning of the addition from 2014 up to 2019. What you do once you have now an asset register that meets the audit requirements, that is when you start to think around, now you must operationalize the IT platform that doesn't allow for it to be polluted again, so we go back and redo this exercise. How does it allow the new operating model to operate? How does it allow Operation Bring Back to come on board? How does it allow the link of the Google Asset Register to the issue of billing of clients, the issue of a relevant system that are linked so that we can blow our clients against proper properties, so that we can provide the proper itemized billing? But at the moment, we can't. I think that's the first thing I wanted to address with respect to this particular program. So there must be no fear that we're shifting dates. I've already accounted for that when it comes to the targets for March 2013, we've met 6 out of the 10, 4 we have not met, where we've implemented interventions to make sure that we still don't miss the audit requirements of 2014. We are engaging the EG, we are engaging the Office of the Accountant General on a number of other detailed aspects that will affect that audit outcome of 2014. What are the other aspects of the turnaround that influence a particular program? I would want to draw your attention to the third row, where you will see something that wants to look like a cloud. It says incorporate outcomes of the lease audit. Now, the lease audit is also going to give us a lot of valuable information that will be completed by March 13. That is when the project is intended to be completed for us, right? It will give us information that is going to inform us to create a credible... Yes, sir?
Thank you.
Okay. Is it working? No, it's full face. It's not working. It's in my pocket. I was hoping it works. But can I try to direct the committee in terms of the road? Can you go and point it out? Right. I am raising this item in terms of what is the other impact of the turnaround with respect to this particular project. We have identified the incorporation of the lease audit outcomes that we should be getting by the end of this financial year to also inform Operation Bring Back in terms of the forensic investigations and then also in terms of what you are learning from coming from the D3 con. So I'm trying to build a picture of saying it is not only for the purposes of having a complete of having an asset register that meets the audit requirements. I must be careful about the choice of words that I use. It must meet the audit requirements in terms of the FIFA session. We're incorporating some of the aspects of the turnaround strategy into which what needs to be well informed and they cannot work against one another. Now, committee members, the next slide. We want to deal now with the aspects of key milestones as they relate to the completeness of registered properties, both in terms of national and provincial custodians. One of the key outcomes for March 2013, the end of this financial year, is to determine and maintain a quantum of registered and surveyed land of and registered properties and unregistered properties for DPW. That is our target. What has been our achievement? The quantum has been determined for national and provincial land in terms of registered state land. Quantum has been determined for national unregistered state land. So we know that. That's part of what is informed by the process of the recon and the work we're doing with the other affected parties. The numbers Florence will speak to. What is the variance that we're dealing with? The quantum for surveyed and unregistered land for provincial state land. That is what we have not achieved, and we're still engaging the Chief Surveyor General to get to the bottom of those particular numbers. The intervention, I think it is there. Confirmation of the unregistered state land to provincial custodian is work in progress. That is what we've not achieved in terms of that particular milestone. We are supposed also to determine and implement a process and mechanism to track unsurveyed land. The target for that is 2014. We are saying in terms of our achievement, we've done alignment with Public Works and the CSG data to the point of around 64%. GIS mapping of state land is at about 10%. So in essence, what we're saying, in as far as we're going towards the target of 2014, that is how far we are. With respect to alignment of 64%, when it comes to GIS mapping of state land to around 10%. The deeds refresh, I've already dealt with this issue extensively. We are doing a resumption recon, which is due by March of 2013. The first one was achieved last year around November. Prepare a revised vesting plan for national and provincial state departments. The national vesting team has been established. A revised vesting process has been developed and is in the process of being incorporated into the vesting plan. I think I've dealt with the issues of vesting when I was giving the broad overview of what are some of the challenges that we're facing that are linked to the issues of property rates and taxes. And the agreement that we've reached concurrent with National Treasury in that regard, in that those functions will be devolved to provinces, which will now push them as a positive motive for them to account for all of their property. One of the other things we're supposed to have achieved is a detailed design of our operating model requirements for public works. Where are we in that regard? The initial design is completed and is currently being aligned in the turnaround organizational plan. I've already reflected on that as part of the items that we have not fully completed, but it's partial. We still need to formally approve it within the department. What I can say, which I think is important in this regard, in terms of our interactions with HOGs and MIMEC, we have proposed, and it was already assented to, an operating model in terms of what should be the operating units look like for all the custodians. What kind of human resources should they have, what kind of processes should follow, and obviously linked to that is the level of funding that you require to operate that particular asset register unit. Because they were not uniform, but everybody had them at the same level, hence the progress was not the same across the board. That has been accepted by MINMAC and it has been approved as of January of this year. The next stage is now to fully implement that with proper approval so that we get the right resources. So that come 2014, that deadline we're chasing, we have provincial departments, we have a national custodian who can operate the immovable asset register. And that's some of the details that sometimes they get missed in terms of the presentation I needed to provide. That is what we have achieved also. We are also supposed to manage the DMIS migration process. And I've already dealt with this aspect also, where a duplicate copy in the form of the IE Works platform has already been agreed to, and we're going to be using it so that we do not pollute the new information as we move forward towards the date of 2014. Now, next slide. Honorable members, this is a slide that deals with the challenges. I think I've alluded to the challenges and I've explained how we're engaging with those challenges in terms of our progress. But just for the record, we thought let them be flagged out so we can see them, but I've detailed the progress made against those challenges. The next slide. Now, why are we reflecting on the provincial state of affairs?
Alright.
Well, Chair and members of the committee, it is exactly what you said. We've had challenges, and these challenges primarily affected the second, the appointment of the SSP, the second secondary provider that is supposed to do the physical verification. The procurement process didn't go as planned. There were administrative bureaucratic issues within the department that had to be managed, that were not going according to plan, that frustrated this particular process.
Excuse me.
Now, Chair, you are saying you want us to deal with a particular aspect. I don't know the level of details of the frustrations you want me to deal with that we were dealing with internally, because I don't think we would derive a lot of value by going back to spilled milk, because we've encountered those, we've had bruising encounters internally, and by and large we've resolved those. That is why the second service provider is going to start on the 1st of May. We are going through now the last teething problems of doing the last appointments in terms of software and applications that are going to be used on the field to allow the start on the 1st of May, which should have started in October 2012. Why the focus on the provinces? One of the things we've already indicated that we've achieved is that we know now what is deemed to be national, what is deemed to be provincial, what is deemed to be other custodians. And Florence is going to deal with those numbers. But what those numbers are going to show you is that the bulk of the assets that needs to be in asset registers reside within provinces, by and large. You will see the numbers. But what is important, however, is to look into this particular table. That basically depicts the state of affairs where we are with provinces and why the benefit to go and interact with all the various provinces. On the far outer column that's dealing with the status of readiness as of 31st of March 2013, what is the status of the provinces? We've used the color coding of traffic lights to give you an indication. You can see that clearly which provinces are meeting the readiness requirements as of 31st of March deadline for this year. Financial year. It is the Eastern Cape, it is KZN, it is the Western Cape. You can see which are the ones which are amber, which are not there yet. It is Gauteng, it is Mpumalanga. You can see the ones that are in trouble, that in terms of status, in terms of readiness for 31st of March targets, they are not there yet. Hence the level of intervention. I think that picture paints a picture of where the provinces are, interventions that we've put in. Now, I'm glad that the Office of the AG is here for some of the issues, the next column, if you move back, deals with issues of audit qualifications of 11 and 12. There you can get an account which provinces were qualified and which provinces were not qualified. Now, there's an issue that we are engaging the AG on. It's not a start issue, start in earnest. That is, when it comes to the issues of qualifications, I think you can start to see there's a level of inconsistency. But how is it that certain provinces can be qualified, others are not qualified, but we're dealing with all the same problem, and all of us are not in a state of readiness, by and large, to meet all the assertion requirements. If you look in terms of the systems that they're using, at least we've addressed this issue. We've all agreed on a platform of IEWorks, but there was inconsistency when it came to the platform. And I think you can all start to appreciate that the problems we're having on PMI is of control are equally relevant for other provinces, where you look, other custodians, where you look if they're using an Excel-based platform to manage their asset registers. At least we've agreed on a common platform, now we're going to be moving in that particular direction. In the other column, it is dealing with the details of all of the issues that pertain to each province, but they're not all the same. But I think the picture just paints a picture of what is the status quo with all the other custodians. And I want to re-emphasize the point. Please remember, if other custodians are not up to scratch and they are not showing their assets on their register, it becomes our problem, which is why we've decided to work with them collaboratively and we've agreed on particular intervention. So where you see red and where you see yellow, that becomes our problem. Chair, I will go back and do the illustration of which ones are green and which ones are yellow and which ones are red. The Eastern Cape is green. The KZN is green. Chair, can you... I'm trying to assist so everybody follows. Can I continue with... Western Cape is green. Who is yellow? It is Gauteng. And voila. The balance is red. Provide a response on that, Chair, on the question of the asterisks that affects Gauteng, KZN, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. Those are the provinces where the minister has already had one-on-one interactions with his counterparts in terms of the MECs and the head of departments. The others are still work in progress. Noted, Chair. The next slide deals with the critical assertion requirements and risk identified against those. And I want to make the emphasis here that we've picked about 3 out of 5 where we've identified key risks that we think we need to manage and would like to alert the portfolio committee to those so that they are aware once you identify a risk, you need to mitigate it so that you lessen its effect or even its occurrence. When it comes to completeness, we're dealing with the issue of the final reconciliation of state land parcels, provincial housing land, and anomalies such as certain properties no longer in state hands or were never transferred. That is one risk that affects that particular assertion we need to meet. Second one, reconciliation between rural development records and provincial records. Identifying the completeness of the, portfolio committee members, even I run the problem of these acronyms, I don't understand. What is SDF for again? Yes. It is state domestic facilities. Yeah, that's what I thought too, and I knew that wouldn't make sense. it is a state domestic facilities given external information required and resolving disputes. That is the other. The other one is reliably determining the extent of unsurveyed land and clearly defining national departments with land parcels, and the other one completeness and revenue leakage. I want to go back to the second one from the bottom, the one that speaks to the issue of reliably determining the extent of unsurveyed land, because this is something that we have to rely on from the Chief Surveyor General. He had to complete his state land audit for us to be in that particular position. He indicated to us tentatively by the end, probably it was the end of this year or next year, March 13th, that he should have completed his work. That then will enable us to be able to fully identify the extent of our presence in the unsurveyed land. It is not that we do not know. We do have knowledge of certain permissions to occupy assets that we have in those particular facilities. But the question becomes, we need to have a full extent thereof. And on the accuracy, the risk that we're dealing with is physical verification process may not be able to conform. We're identifying it, we're sending out the service provider out there, and we're trying to mitigate that they need to confirm of all of our assets. Information may not be available, alternative processes required. We are raising an issue that we've identified risk where certain information may just not be available, and we need to find other processes to be able to ascertain the actual locations of other properties. Under and overpayments, budgeting processes inaccurate and exposure in respect to arrears. This is the other risk that becomes a consequence of us meeting the accession requirements, because it's one thing to know where you are, then all of a sudden we're going to discover that we've got liabilities that we've never recognized, and all of a sudden we're going to require funds to be able to satisfy those obligations. This is one of the accession things we need to look out for. So we're raising these issues so that when we do deliver, come March 14, the removal asset register that satisfies the assertion requirements, we could be sitting with another problem that would have uncovered other liabilities we were not aware of. When it comes to evaluations, the risk is inevitable the acceptance of the Office of Accountant General and AG, given the historical costs cannot be reconstructed, and also the aspect of consistency and reliability of allocation of municipal values to land and the structure allocations. I think all of us around the table will be familiar with that if you own property, that the municipality has already a municipal value for your property, and they charge you a rate and a tax pegged against that. So there could be issues that were identified as a risk that may emanate from that. At least I know I contest the value of my property they put on those valuation rolls. So those are issues that are identified up front, especially that will inform our future value model going forward. Timely application of alternative valuation methods when municipal values are not available. This is the other reality, where in certain municipalities, they haven't completed their valuation role, and we'll need to have a process where we find other methods of rapid valuation that will satisfy the requirements of valuation, insofar as the valuation goals are concerned. I think, Chair, at this point, I want to hand over to the program manager, that is Florence Rabada, to take us through the numbers.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. And thank you, Executive OO. The item I'm about to present is one of the most critical foundation of an asset register. Prior exercises have taught the department that you cannot resume on a program on the movable asset register unless you have done your desktop analysis. You cannot. You cannot send the soldiers out to your property to go and measure and check with occupying and check all the other information that is required in the, for immovable assets unless you have done the desktop analysis. Now, this completeness is an obsession that is a starting point. We have spent 10 months since the program began in analyzing and ensuring that by the time the financial year ends, which is the 6th of March 2013, we know the quantum of what DPW is responsible for the national, one of the national custodians. We know what the provinces, each province is responsible for as a custodian in the provincial government. We know what rural development is responsible for, as well as other custodians. So it's critical to get the basis right. Now, the authoritative source in the country is a deed register. The deed register is what the AD would go to when they audit our asset register. Yes, the deed register is not 100% accurate, but in the absence of nothing, we are using the deed register as since the authoritative source in the country, where all state land, state land as well as all state, all land in the country is registered. So maybe I'd just like to draw to the attention that this is a critical area to get the numbers correct. The pros in doing so is to the mandate of public works. We have to manage the portfolio of the assets. We have to provide accommodation to the clients. How can we do that unless we know what we own? This is the critical thing that we need to know. Same for the provinces, same for rural development. You can't start managing and making asset decisions unless you know what is it that you are managing. The second thing, budgeting. We have been able to budget properly for our assets in the previous year due to the fact that we don't know the quantum of the assets that we are responsible for as a Department of Public Works. As well as the disclosure, I mean, the previous audit reports, they tell a lot of story about our state of readiness with the provinces in as far as where we had been when it comes to completeness of these movable asset registers. So I'll just take the numbers through the numbers. Previously, when we presented on 14th of August, if you look at, and then Rob is showing you there, 182,345. That was the deed record as at November 2011. When we started the program. We went to the deed record and then we extracted all state lands and the number was 182,345. Out of that, provincial properties that were identified at the time as being under custodianship of the province was 111,000. Rural development, which is a department that is responsible at the national sphere of government to manage the properties in the former TDVC, state had 25,258,000 records, land parcel. Now, DPW land parcel from the deed record, 45,150. We had been...
The tribal land is under the deed. Is that all under rural
development? Yes, it is. Previously, what we have been reporting in our annual financial statement is 35,000, which I will later get to. Now, after doing this, as I said, for the past 10 months, we have been working on analyzing this data from the asset register against our own asset register. The result was that the deemed DPW land parcel that came out as a result of the analysis was 31,906. Out of that, there were some adjustments that were made, part of which there had been properties, land parcels, which were not identified in deeds, but they were on our property management information system. Now you would ask yourself a question that if you say the deeds register is an authoritative source, why would you find something in your asset register as a custodian? And okay, thank you, Chairperson, for the question. In 1994, government didn't have an electronic database. State lands were captured in, I mean, you would see tons and tons of papers and files and all that. And then in 1995, the Department of Public Works resumed with the task of having an electronic asset register. What we did at the time, we then went, we started on the ground We started on the ground, and based on what the constitution says national government should do, we identified such land parcels. So that's how the properties were identified, Chairperson. But Chairperson, this is one of the issues that we're trying to show to you, that we're sitting here with various databases that don't talk to each other. Now, this now makes the process an onerous one, makes it a very laborious exercise. Yes.
Post-1994, you accepted the office. The TV states that they wanted these offices. RSA and their own. Now, did you check on this? Did you check on this? Because the explanation is well.
Thank you, Honorable Member. When the you mean now or then?
Post-1994. Trying to help you. Post-1994, I'm sure that you will remember, the former Tanzania is owned the property. And when those were supposed to be transferred to Bishop, that was not done because there was no capacity within Bishop. That is where I'm getting.
Thank you, Honourable Member. We are dealing with the correct information. We are saying, Honourable Chairperson was asking me, how does it come that we have land parcels in our asset register that are not in the land parcel, in the deed record? Now I'm explaining how it came about. The process. You are quite correct, Honourable Member, to say that the process of the deed register had been accepted by the state to be utilized as an authoritative source post-1994. However, even now, you will see as I continue with my analysis of what is done now, there are still properties that initially were in our asset register, and now when you check again the deed records now, they are either into private names or they are into municipal land. Municipal names or parastatal names. So that is a moving target. Hence, it requires to be verified through and through. I don't know if I'm answering what you're saying here. It is a moving target. Let me start by saying that it is a moving target. We are still reconciling. If you look at on top there, we are saying very important work in progress. This is a situation that we are presenting as at the 9th of February 2013. Now we are not going to be able to provide the correct number of state land until this thing is completed in the state. We are not going to be able to provide this complete number until the surveying is completed as HCO has said. So it's a moving target for now. But what we have done for now is that what we have identified as forming part of our custodian custodianship is that we've got the records that support that. Now, if you go to the deed register and then you get an ad text printout that says property is RSA, then the portfolio of evidence that you can utilize to prove that indeed the property should be in your asset register. Now, when you go there and you find that it's in a private name, it shouldn't be in your asset register. But the fact of the matter is that we do have such assets that are still private lands in our asset register. Now, the process will continue, and as the COO has said, by the 1st of March 2013, the plan is to address the management sessions and satisfy the audit requirements. However, these properties that we find to be private, which were originally in our asset register, we're not just going to chart them out. It's going to be the second phase of what we're going to do, and then there's an analysis, a deep analysis that we have to do as DPW and the provinces to check how the ownership changed. Now, the process has already started. We do have a database for archived properties. According to the guidelines, you can't delete an asset in your asset register. So you archive it, meaning it becomes into an active folder. So we are checking against that to check if perhaps this is a cause of somebody having forgotten to update the asset register or what. So we're not just going to chuck them up, but we're going to investigate, and as we all have said, going to form part of the operation bring back as well. Oh, corruption, that's something operation bring back.
Can we allow it? I know you're all blaming. Come up with
Where was I? I was here. Okay. All right. Just to conclude this slide, after the analysis, from the 45,000, we have now confirmed that 36,000 letters are confirmed as being deemed DPW, meaning we do have the records to support that there are properties under us. Now, if you look at that last line that says provincial properties not yet vested, it's a critical one. FCCO has indicated that the sector guide indicates that if the province does not disclose the assets in their financial statements, then we as a department have to disclose such assets. So there's about 31,153 land parcels, which are provincial, which we as a department, the possible assets that we're going to disclose for this financial, at the end of this financial year. And then I think we've indicated the issue about the private and municipal properties and parastatal properties that you still find in our asset register. The next slide, this is a slide that speaks on the devolved conditional grants to the provinces. Prior, 1st of April 2008, the Department of Public Works had been paying rates for the provinces, for properties that are for provincial use. Now, on the 1st of April 2002, the Department of Public Works devolved the function to all the 9 provinces for them to start to pay the rates on their properties. Now, just to make it clarity here, it's not to say the provinces had not had the asset register because they were still managing properties. But then we had properties in our asset register which we are paying rates on, because you can only pay rates against the system. You can't do it manually to go with the paper. You have to make payments via system. Provinces had properties. Now, that recon had not been done in 2008, the reconciliation, to ensure that what we are no longer paying rates for as a national government is captured in the asset registers of the province. Now, this is also what we have been doing. And then what we have found so far is provinces have confirmed 21,000 properties that is under their custodianship. 11,000 is also confirmed as vested. Now, if you look, both of the 32,000 is the one that I indicated earlier on in the presentation. Now, if you look at the result of the analysis, from one point, the rate, if you look at the rate, if you look on the screen, from 1.5 to 1.8, all those properties, there is still, you can't see. Captain, we apologize once again. I think in future we will make sure that all the members and the committee can tell us that. So we all speak from the same page. We apologize once again. Now, from 1,005 to 7,000, there's still investigation that must still go through all those properties. Some are deemed rural development, some are deemed municipalities, some are deemed human settlement. And what it means is in some of the provinces, human settlement, the Department of Human Settlement is custodian of state land. In some of the, in other provinces, not. So what we are trying to do is to align the 86 land parcels that we still have to investigate to check whether they belong to province or whether they have to come back to rural development or to DPW. Now, further investigation is also required on the 4,493 land parcels. This is work in progress, which is planned to be completed by the 31st of March 2013. Now, this 4,000, the critical thing is the properties will be subjected to the physical verification when it starts at the 1st of May with the physical verification. They are likely to be part of the physical verification. The reason why the work, we still continuing analyzing is because it's difficult to find information on these assets. So even to identify who the custodian is difficult because you don't have sufficient information to verify. The only way is to go on site and check who's occupying or who's using the land parcel. So hence we say that the properties will be subjected to the title verification. Slide 13. This is showing a provincial DPW land parcel. We also indicate, bearing in mind that we indicated that in some provinces, human settlement is also custodian. My earlier slide indicated, as per the deed, there's 111,000 land parcels that are under the custodianship of provinces. After the adjustment that we did through the analysis, the number is now 122,222. This is the deed plus the adjustments that we did. And then if you look at the adjustments, I think you can look at on the column on the left what the adjustment means. For instance, the 10,743 properties, these are properties that are for provincial usage. But when you go to the deeds register, they reflect the RSA. But then they are being used for provincial usage. So hence we add them on this. Thus far, out of the 11,000, provinces have now confirmed 53,294. Members, you would recall that in our previous presentation, we presented the number 29,650, which is what the provinces had provided to us as national, that they keep in their asset register, they are managing. Now, through the verification with these, and through visiting the provinces and checking the use of the properties, the number now has risen from 29,000 and is now 53,000. Now this 53,000 consists of both vested land and unvested land, meaning that 31,000 is unvested and we as DPW we must show it in our books. Yes, the province is using their money, but then as a guide, we as the Department of Public Works are given this onerous responsibility to show them in the books, in the financial statements. And the remainder of that are the properties, which is about 82,000, which are yet to be vested by the province. Again, members, this analysis will be completed by the 31st of March, 2013. If you check the second column, second row from below, 7,063 land parcels is work in progress, and we're still working with the provinces to identify who the custodians are on those properties. The 31st of March is the cut-off date when we will be knowing who the custodian is. Now, slide 14, the vetting progress. I think the COO has indicated the challenges why we are where we are 19 years down the line in respect of vetting. However, the critical thing that we show here, the previous slide that we presented in August on the 14th, will show you a different picture on what we are showing here. For the main reason that when we were measuring our progress, we were measuring our progress against the land parcels that were not verified and are investigated. Now, following the investigation, this is the picture that we have as of today. Now, it provides us with a new realistic and real and truthful picture of how far we are in as far as this thing is concerned. Now, net now, we've vested 13,633. Rural development, vested 8,000. And then provinces, they've vested 22,000, which I indicated earlier on, which they will show in their book, 141. Now, the properties that are still to be vested, the picture was plus minus 50,000 in August, now it's sitting at 71,171. Honorable members, this shows if you don't work on the basis of the correct numbers, you will never even measure how far you are from finishing what you need to do, the task at hand. And obviously the budgeting and then the resource requirements that needs to be put to ensure that we meet our targets. Now we have been able to achieve within the past 10 months to quantify and this enables better planning going forward. So you're saying vesting by 31st of March will be 25% complete. And when I say 25% is across, it's for national DPW, not for rural development, not for provinces. This is for national DPW. 25% of the 36,000, which is the, our number after the verification, will be vested. 90% of 36,000 will be vested as of the 31st of March 2015, and we are saying by the, 2016 we'll have completed all the vesting. I think this just shows that if you have the truth, you are able to plan properly going forward. So we're saying 2016 will be complete with the vesting. I think in conclusion, thank you, Honourable Members. I'll hand over to the Chief.
Thanks, Lawrence. Honourable Members, in conclusion, and dealing with the critical success sector, I think everybody around the table appreciates that this is a large and a complex program which requires extensive consultation and cooperation among state departments to enable public works to produce a required compliant removal asset register. And I think all of the presentations are here for to show you the progress we've been making and not making in that particular regard. A lot of effort to date has gone into collecting, analyzing, and cleansing the data in preparation for the physical inspection process that will be commencing in May 2013. So I think that is a very important achievement, that at least we are concluding recons, we'll be starting the physical verification that is required as of May 2013, take us to 2014 targets. A lot of progress has been made to re-establish the required links to the cooperation among state departments and to obtain the required data. Who are moving? The CSG is cooperating. Departments that have completed their asset registers like Defense, Agriculture are making that available. The state entities that did those asset registers on their behalf are operating and assisting us, and that is CSIR. So we're moving in those particular directions. An extensive amount of work is still required between now and 2014 for clean audit. And March 2019, the final state with the following critical success factors, which is why I said we're not moving the target of getting a compliant asset register in 2014 that meets the audit requirements. But it's not enough. After that, you need to start the process of ensuring it doesn't degenerate to the state to where it is now. It is maintained and it operates and supports the business of the department and as part of the general. Some of those detailed success factors that will take us where we need to be as part of the big picture, adequate and dedicated resources to deliver the project. We are dealing with that. Where we find snags, we deal with them. And I think the important thing I want to emphasize, committee members, is that a plan is a plan. You use it as your guide. Where you are missing your plan, targets, and milestones, you intervene so that you are still sure you're moving in the right direction. Ongoing cooperation and improved capacity in the state land custodians and departments. We have, by and large, at least got agreement now on that aspect. The important thing now is to ensure that those identified resources for HR processes are funded. And maybe I'm raising this issue maybe pertinently here. It is you in the National Assembly and this portfolio committee who are going to request your support when we're asking for additions. When we go and say we want additional budget things we didn't foresee, so that you can support us in getting those resources. And we're asking you to watch out for the other custodians, that they get and make sure that they fund these resources so that we can move with the removal asset register. Implementation of IU work by March 2014, we've reached agreement as we sit here today on using a common platform. The important thing now is to ensure we start that migration process. And in the next briefing, we should be briefing you on these items. How far are we on that migration? Establishment of interim structures and processes in national and provincial public works to maintain such an enhanced asset register until final structures are approved. We're emphasizing that it's still a process we still need to undertake, where we still need to get DPSA approval on the structure that we finally think is appropriate to operate. We know what we need to do. I would like to end my presentation now, Chair and committee members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to start the presentation. But I just want to see the DG. DG, you could see that members were not agree with you in a lot of things. They were just shaking their heads. And they were doing that because of the former presentations that were received by them. So don't be surprised to say they were disagreeing with everything. Honorable Dreyer, Honorable Madoba, Honorable Tole, Honorable Wanyamarila, Honorable Swaje, Honorable Nwane, in that session. Honorable Dreyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 4 points. It's a technical thing. Just the definition of vesting program. What exactly it means by vesting? And secondly, you mentioned properties abroad in conjunction with TRAPCOP, but properties abroad, do they belong, well, they should be, when it's South African property, it should also fall under public works, or does it fall under foreign affairs, what's now called international relations? What is the situation regarding those properties, or the embassies, for example? And then on the number of properties in the various provinces, obviously there's variance, that's the number of properties, but then more important would be the size of those properties, the square kilometre or the hectares. Do you also have that information available? Because I think that would also give us an interesting picture. And the fourth point is, now I understand your, this asset management, asset register is a huge, huge project, and you still don't have reliable asset register, but how has that impacted on the land reform program? We don't know what we have, how can we transfer land to people who claim. So how is it impacted on that land reform program?
Thank you, Madam. Can we all have four will come up the seven lamps?
Okay. Thanks for the presentation. I want to check what the presentation if you indicate the information from the state office. Which one are you referring to? The one that was the Republic of South Africa. Because there was no consolidation of the information in the deep office for the former TPVC state. It was not part. Which one are you referring to if you are saying different information? Also on the issue of the private land as well as the pastoral land. It's not clear how many that is recorded in the private land, because also would want to know to say if it is recorded in the private land and there is no supporting document that is in this property was transferred, what will be the action of the department on this one? At the moment, I will not go to them too. So if you said four. Yeah, also, Chair, I think what I want to check now when we are dealing with, we are no more focusing on getting everything, but we are focusing on the compliance, on the audit requirement at the moment, because that is what I'm hearing, because you extend up to 2016, and so on, but your priority, you are going to focus on the compliance based on the audit, and then to deal with other matters. And what about those properties that are outside the country? They also own the part of this asset register and they comply in the for the purposes of compliance.
Honorable Sola?
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Hello. What's going on? I must appreciate the information because these are the information. But, Chairperson, my concern is the shifting of the. Because last year they thought that in 2012, 31st December, the completion and the analysis of the is going to be completed in 2016. Now they are talking about 2014, and then they are talking about 2019. I don't know which is which. And the other one says that one of international property. I think our investors have been mentioned that one. And my other concern is that one of human settlement. If you check on page 3, red number 3, the focus has been on the completion of number of registered land patented nationally, provincially, and etc. in the other registered candidates. And it's accepted the court. According to the information that they give us last year, they say there's some parcels that they have been transferred to women's sectors. So I don't know how many, because I was in the human sectors committee, they told us that there's no parcel that has been transferred to them by human sectors, by the public work. So I don't know which is which. This is that which is wrong. And the Adam says that one of the target date and the same thing, the last one, the target date to confirm the quantum of land parcel, 31st May, 2013. Are they going to make that target?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Swatis. Honorable Swatis Wayamalila.
Thank you, Chair. And let me start by appreciating the presentation. But I've got a few questions to ask. The first one, Chair, on the issue of the under the executive summary, where they've indicated that they think that will form the basis of the physical inspection from October 2012, where the date has been dictated.
Can you raise your voice?
On the executive summary, Chair, whereby they've changed the date on this physical inspection. My question is, are you going to meet the deadlines? I think my concern is almost the same as the concern that is raised by Honorable Chole, that you're going to meet the deadline that you've set for yourself because you delayed to start this the project. Then, Chair, the other concern is on the issue of the vesting. Why this delay on the vesting process? And also, what are the reasons for the delay? Because according to my understanding, vesting is the responsibility of the Department of Public Works. Is it not the case? I think, yes, I think we clarify that one. Why this delay in the vesting? Because there are lots of projects that are still to be vested.
Can you give a hearing? Can we please give the speaker a yield?
There's still lots of land parcels that are outstanding that are still to be vested. Then the other one shares on the issue of the rolling out of the transversal government property management system. What are the causes for the delays? And the other one, Operation Bring Back. Why are you saying that you're still going to commence this project in 2014? Is it not going to delay this removable asset register project that you've started? What is the reason for extending the time? Because they have already started it. After making the assessment, what were the gaps, what were the challenges, you have to just go and implement it again. But I'm looking at the gap between now and April 2014. Why are you taking long to start with this, to restart? Because you started. So to restart this operation, bring back again. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Sergeant.
Thank you very much, Professor. And thank you very much for the presentation. My question is with regard to the issue of desktop information, where you have indicated that for you to put foot soldiers on the ground, you need to get information from the desktop. So I just want to find out, because you also said that the information that was in government was not actually captured in the system. But we are also saying that the information that should be actually verified must be received from the computer. So I just want to know, how are you going to deal with that kind of a situation where you don't have proper information in your system, but you're still going to your system, not asking people to go to the ground to check what is actually on the ground. So I just want to know, how are you going to actually work on that one? And on the issue of, the other issue is on the issue of the challenges. It is mentioned on page 8 of the presentation that there are a host of legacy issues. And we actually don't know what are those legacy issues that are actually hampering the progress in terms of So I think that if maybe we are given an opportunity or we are actually told what actually is the problem, then we can actually understand what is actually going on. And with regards to the assets that are actually are registered under private and others are actually registered under municipality, I just want to find out if ever, because you said that initially those assets were registered under government, but they were actually transferred to private, others were transferred to municipality. What are you doing with that kind of a situation? Honorable Raila here also said that there were some information in the TBWC after 1994 that needed to be put in the system. So I just want to know what happened to this information so that you can make this reconciliation to work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I would like to thank the department for the information, although it's a bit confusing. First of all, I would like to, and especially that we didn't get the presentation on time. It is really a concern, because if we are really serious about this, the asset register and then the clean audit, we need to be on top of the issue. First of all, Chair, my concern is almost the same as the one called the DIS office. Aren't you supposed to have the DIS office, is it not supposed to have the record as to when was this transferred to this private person, and what is going on in the DIS office? I mean, you need to have that information. It needs to be understood that this property, this asset used to belong to this person, or it used to be an RSA property, and then now it belongs to somebody. It was transferred on this date, and then that the change of ownership needs to be accurate as far as possible. My other question is around the non-implementation of the DIAMA at local level. The Government Immovable Asset Management Act was passed in 2007, and it was supposed to be implemented at local level within 3 years. That's what we were told. But up until now, it cannot be implemented. Does that not have an impact on the assets? Because when we go to the provinces, we find that the provinces are supposed to be paying rates to some of the properties. They don't even know whether those properties belong to the province or they belong to the local level. I mean, it is a confusion at provincial level. It is a fact. We've been there. We've seen that for ourselves. I feel as long as we that is not clarified, we still will have this asset register thing going on until Jesus comes back. And the confirmation of this unregistered state land by the 31st of March, is it possible? Are you going to make it? Also, my colleague here made mention of the TCC state. I'm really worried, especially about the Transcard, because I'm from there. And after post-1994, if you remember, the DIS office of the Transcry, former Transcry, got bent down. And then what happened to the to those assets, to those to the to all those the records that were there? That's why we are really not satisfied with the fact that all those are, and those houses that used to be used by the former minister, some people send them into BNB And nobody's saying anything because we don't have the complete register of all this. And really, my worry is about the shifting time frame. It shows that we are not going to have the in audit, I mean, for the next few years. I did touch on the things of rape by the problem. It is a problem. And as long as we don't know our assets, we are still going to have encounter challenges there.
Thank you, Honorable Gayla. We'll be followed by Baba Magubane and Mama Majala.
Thank you, Chair President. I just want to look at slide 15. Bullet 4. An extensive amount of work is still required between now and 2014. 2014 will be European audit. 2014, which will mean we are going out of this committee, we'll be out of this committee. Let's agree on that one. Now you shift your game goalposts to the new people that are coming in 2014. You say 2019, so when it gets out, you again going to shift your goal. Why do you say that? Why don't you say that for the new 2018? Why 2014, 2019? Can you explain us there, please? Second, I agree with you that you say your desktop must be right. Now, what I want to understand from you is your good soldiers before you send out your good soldiers. When you talk of your good soldiers, are you talking about people who are working within the department, or are you talking about consultants? What are you talking about? Secondly, what work do your good soldiers do? Do they meet with the provincial department and the local at the local government level? Why do I ask this, Mr. Abandi? You are from the former chief in Mthatha. Your provincial office in KSD Matanzima building, next to it was the former post office in the same plot. A private person has taken that over. Reading that out, that within a government building, within a government building, at your Department of Post, at Department of Public, in Mthatha, you see that post office there, it's been rented up by private for years. That is why I say then to you, you need to do this right. Don't do this to please us. Do this for the country. Do it in a proper manner. For instance, you go to Port St. John when I'm up. Port St. John. Where? Port St. John. The municipality of the these people don't come to us. We know which are state lands. And they are used by private people. That's the problem of what's being directed to tell them. I agree with you with the cooperation project. That it was just, you know, it was not done properly. It needs to be done properly where you can get the relevant people in to do the work. Then, in your vesting, I see here you've got nothing on 16. The nothing vested in 16, what is that? Can you explain us on that? Chairperson, I'll see the next round. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is not a question, I mean, it's not a question, it's just a comment about the deed office as well as the land parcels they are talking about. Deed offices, as Gaila has said, they were in four provinces in the past. That is Natal, Free State, Cape Province, and I forgot the other province. There were four. Transfer, yes. So now, all these provinces had their own deed offices, but the main deed office was in Pretoria, where all the records are being kept up to the present moment. So I see no reason why to say that the deed office, such and such a place, was banned down and there were no records. They are still there in Pretoria. I should think that the copies that are in provinces or wherever at the present moment were copies from the from Pretoria, where they keep all the records. and the land parcels that they are talking about now, each and every piece of land here in South Africa, it has got a lot number and is registered in Pretoria and in provinces. Nobody can come here and say that since plot has been lost. There is a copy of Pretoria. The original copy is from 1910 when the union was formed. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, I'm only having a concern here that the document is so difficult for us to read it, especially the one on page 5. Maybe if it can be simplified by the department. The one on page 5, also page 9, where progress against provincial targets, because we don't understand exactly what transpired in different provinces. We only told that there's green, yellow, green, yellow, green, and it seems where the minister visited the NEC, there's green, but where he didn't, there's red, you know. If we can be clarified further about these two documents. I also want to emphasize on the assets abroad, because the department is not mentioning anything, the relationship between DECO and themselves. So if they can clarify us what is happening about such assets which are abroad. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama. EJ, in 2008, 30 million was allocated for asset register. 30 million. And again, 6 million was spent on a system that we were told that is for catering assets. To say what happened to that system. DGF appointed consultants, Ernst & Young, where they informed that there are 230 properties with DECO. Though Department of Public Works signed the memorandum, but DECO refused to sign the memorandum because they were disagreeing. Again, to say there are about 13 properties in Namibia, and 5 out of those 13 properties have been sold to the highest bidder. There was no criteria for selling those properties. 14 foreign properties identified for disposal, though there's no disposal policy. And 37 properties to be disposed for commercial purposes, we were told last year, where they informed about that, and where, we wanted to know where are those properties that are going to be disposed for commercial purposes. 20 properties for land reform purposes was to be disposed. 300 hectares of land has been disposed to agriculture, education, and municipality. All those issues are issues that we want to be informed about, say, where these consultants informed about that. On the devolution of property rate, we were informed that the devolution of property rate started in 2006. That was the information that we got, if I'm not mistaken. The Kiyama thing, the act. Why was there no plan to have the national and provincial asset register use the same operating model? Why were they using separate models? The IR, the what do you call it? The movable. Yes. And an asset register, which DPW has asked, I'm asked to ask this question, was this person doesn't have, but let me give him that she should ask him, because I don't understand what she says. Dinesh, can you take over?
The question is, no, it's just a comment with DECO, the department said that DECO had assets registered, but the department asked them to manage this.
The
assets. So I think that's just a comment.
And can I add, so that you'll be informed, on the property that was sold in Namibia, the highest bidder, can you agree for a land that is 368. I don't know how to. Okay, I'll take it.
I'm going to ask you, Dr. Bolden, to take as much as you can, and then we will ask you.
Thanks, Tishu. There's a question that asked around vesting. What is vesting? If I understood the question properly, it was asked by various members of the committee. If we start at the beginning, is that once South Africa agreed on its constitutional arrangement, it created various spheres of government. You no longer had unitary state arrangement that you had in the beginning of one state. That was pre-1994. It created the national competencies, it created provincial competencies, it created concurrent competencies, and also obviously the local sphere. Now, amongst the various functions of state, at different users, there are those national competencies which are national. As an example, there'll be police, there'll be defense, justice, etc. Then there are other competencies which are concurrent that are run between national and provincial competencies, education, health, etc. What that meant, it meant then all the properties in the country had to be vested to the right custodian. So all of a sudden now you need to start to demarcate which portion of this portfolio of assets in the Republic of South Africa belong to whom. So they have to now to be divided. The custodians, as identified in the presentation, it's National Department of Public Works, it is Rural Development, it is the Provincial Department of Public Works. It's Human Settlement. Who am I leaving out? There were others also, yeah. So the number of custodians. Now, you have to look to the areas of mandate and determine who should be the owner of a particular property. Now, vesting means you need not move that property in terms of this current registration to the right registered owner. That is, the person who's got a mandate over that particular facility. That is what vesting means. Yes, it's determining ownership of that. Now, it is not only just public works, but public works must push for the assets that belong to it to vest it in them. They are not responsible to push for vesting of assets that don't belong to them. And I think I want to clarify that. Then the provinces need to push to vest assets that belong to them. It is their mandate. But this is where I was explaining the difficulty. When you look at the accounting standards, as they've been set out for audit purposes, that is why we're saying they were honorarium. They are saying, if an asset has not been vested with the right owner, now note that the obligation is with the custodian to vest. But if they are not vested with the right owner, public works must still account for what someone else has not done their work for. That is why we linked the issue of devolutions of property rates and taxes. Because up until somebody feels it in their pocket, they won't have reason to. They didn't want, this is my assertion now, I'm probably going to be taken to task by the other HODs, that how do I say that they didn't feel the pinch nor the reason to push for vesting to be completed in a quick and a fast way, because they didn't have a pinch or administrative reason to do it. By moving the budget to them to say, going forward, Public Works will no longer manage your conditional grant on your behalf. You will be responsible for it as of the start of the next financial year. Means, all of a sudden, they have to take ownership of their assets. Whether vested or not vested, it's yours as a custodian. Now you must pay for it. Now the trick becomes, when you go to National Treasury and you want to ask for money for property rates and taxes, you must produce a basis of the requirement of the fund you require, which means you must have a full, complete asset register of all the properties that belong to you. By implication, it will force all the custodians to move quickly to vest their properties properly, because without that register, Treasury will not give them money to pay their rates and taxes. So that was the basis of it. And that is what we're trying to explain by saying, vesting is owned by the custodian. When it comes to the issue of former TBDC stakes, Rural Development is the custodian of those because of the complexities that existed because of the land tenure arrangements for the TBDC stakes, which were not the same as existed in the former RSS.
Sorry,
I'm
sorry.
My apologies.
Is there something you want to add, Robert?
Very briefly on the vesting issue. I think you cannot vest if you don't know what you meant to have in your portfolio. And I think what this deeds analysis that Florence spoke about earlier on, this 182,000 national state land, 25 in the rural development, the 30,000 odd that we meant to show, etc. I think what this exercise has done is uncovered for the first time to say who is meant to show what, and then to be able to actually benchmark and say, well, why haven't you vested these yet? And that then links with the discussion that Zeko said about pushing something on the rate side to make that happen. But if you don't have the information on a global basis, on a national basis, of who's got what, there's no way to properly track and say what needs to be done. I think this is what we've managed to achieve so far on this work.
Thanks for that. On the aspect of foreign properties, I'm going to touch a number of questions on it that were asked. There are two state departments that have custodial function on the primary mandate of Public Works that have been devolved a particular function. It is the South African Police Service for a defined number of police stations. It is also the Department of International Relations in terms of management. However, that devolution, what did it exclude? It excluded the power to dispose of property. That is still the prerogative of Public Works. Now, the issues that are being raised, I will indicate to the committee, I had a meeting towards the end of last year with the DG of DECO, where he had indicated that they halted the process of disposal for their number of issues. Firstly, the question of ability for them to dispose. There's a legal question. Can you dispose of something that you don't have the legal basis to do so? So there are issues we need to follow up on. Because what is being reported to me by the chair, there's a question of legal ability. And we need to allow that to be investigated properly because they don't have the mandate to dispose. There was a limitation to it. With respect to the issue of foreign...
The property that was sold in Namibia, who sold that property? Is it our minister? Who was it?
I don't know the details, Chair. But the only person who has got the legal ability to dispose of any properties of state is the Minister of Public Works. The Minister of International Relations cannot, but that was excluded in the devolution. When it comes to the issues of foreign properties, again, linking it to the issues of Operation Bringback, and I want to first start with Operation Bringback as to why we are saying it needs to be restarted. It is how it was founded to say what was the problem statement that Operation Bringback was resolved. What we're indicating is Operation Bringback had a misinformed problem statement that said the problem is TBDC state only. We're saying the problem is not only TBDC state. The problem also affected the former RSA. It also affected what happened in the international sphere with a particular reference for what happened prior to 1994 as regards to STRATCOM. Because STRATCOM was an intelligence operation, which we cannot discuss here for obvious reasons, but they were using the fabric of the public service to do the things they were doing. So we need to reconcile that. We need to start that engagement with them so that it is holistic Operation Dunbeg must be holistic and make sure we get back everything that is deemed or can be seen requires investigation. That wasn't done properly.
Another
thing
is
that
the
you see, Chair, part of the reasons beyond conceptualizing it properly is that how was Operation Greenback actually resourced? It is not clear. How was it actually resourced? You can't say you're going to run Operation Greenback dealing with complex property issues by establishing what a person is going to sit behind the phone line and saying that person is going to collect information and then run Operation Greenback. Even conceptually, in terms of saying how was the operation actually resourced, who then runs investigations, were those things actually even properly defined? That is the question at hand. It's not enough to be exceeding and say, I'm establishing Operation Greenback and then you don't resource it adequately. You need to get the right people who are going to run investigations and even the people who will not be conflicted to run investigations. How could Public Works run its own Operation Greenback operation? It's a question I have asked. You are conflicted. I don't know who is sitting in that property management system who has done those things and I'm asking them to reinvestigate themselves. So it's about setting up the proper systems and resourcing the proper. Hence I think, let's step back a bit. Let's make sure we covered all of our bases, conceptually and resourcing properly, so that we do the right thing properly. Hope I haven't forgotten anything. When it comes to the question of the size of properties, it is one of the requirements for you to meet the accounting, the audit assertion that are required, the five of them, for you to have a compliant asset register. The fields that you need to be able to account for. Physical verification is partly to do also that where we don't have those information. So we will know the square meter which they are covering. We will have defined for standards how are we defining to know what is the square meter coverage, where there are improvements, and how much land we actually own. Okay. The question was, how has this impacted on the land reform program? I cannot be an authority to respond to that. I think it would be Dwell the Globe Development to actually have a position on how it has impacted on the land reform program. But what I can put forward is logic. They can only dispose of state assets that they know for sure are state assets. I cannot foresee a situation, rural development acting irresponsibly by disposing an asset that is in dispute. It's not to say when we're saying our asset is not compliant in terms of the assertion, we don't know some of the things we own. We do know some of them, but it doesn't meet all the completeness requirements. So from my perspective, I wouldn't foresee they would act irresponsibly by dealing with the issues of land reform by disposing of land that is not clear in terms of ownership and even in terms of vesting who owns it. There was a question on deeds, and I want to believe that there was a clarification provided by one of the portfolio committee members that the deed registry is actually centralized. But I think some of the points that I want to address is a point that says we have identified where there are areas of investigations, we're saying there is enough cause really for us to investigate. So we are going to pursue that particular process. So whether a deed office burns down or not, there is a central repository that must archive its thing. So I think that one has been clarified. But on the issues pertaining particularly to UMHAT, I want to indicate to the committee that I have started the engagement process with the regional manager as of last year, towards end of November. Well, this issue was raised in the last presentation I made here, I think around November. And I have taken up that issue. I am scheduled to have a follow-up meeting on the 1st of March with the regional manager. But unfortunately, regions are no longer part of my portfolio. There's a new DDG regional coordination for whom, when I go to that meeting on the 1st, I will do a handover file of the work we're doing there. The issue was placed on the agenda with the RM to get a detailed explanation of what is happening with areas like Mkululekweni in Tata and other transactions that have happened. Other things are happening, so I can get a localized understanding of what is happening in Mtata. So that we are attending to a chair. Maybe the question of saying at what point we come back and give feedback in terms of what is exactly happening in Mtata. You want to say something more?
I think the Department of Rural Development got a very specific piece of work or program on the go to also do similar to what we're doing for all the RSA properties. For their portfolio, which is the former TDC, SADT type property. So they've got a very dedicated team that looks at how what that register should look like. And they should cover, for example, if there have been deed offices burned down, etc., etc. So they've got a project on there to look at that.
Okay, that's right. There was a question of how many are in private hands that have not been substantiated. We don't know that. We can't make pronouncements of saying how many properties have moved to private hands. What we do know is that we have identified a certain number of properties that, if you look at the record, they have moved from the public sector into private hands, and they are suspicious. And we're saying we're going to make them subject to proper forensic investigation. The issue of the compliance focus of audit. What about the properties outside of the country? Now, that question I've raised as the chair of the Immovable Asset Register Steering Committee, and it's something the department still needs to get involved in. The mandate of the current PMO is to look within RSA. Their mandate is not extended outside of RSA, within the borders of the Republic. So it's an issue that is a blind spot that we've identified, and we still need to look into that one. In terms of the Immovable Asset Register, our mandate is within the mandate of the current project. It has not been extended outside of the borders of RSA, if you look in terms of reference. It's a blind spot that has been identified, but however, it is not a lost cause, because international relations must keep a register of its international facilities as part of the devolution of that particular function. So it's something we still need to revisit internally. But I want to stress again the point I made when I was making reference to Stratcom operations prior to 1994. We still need to have a discussion with the intelligence community so we have a structured and a legal way of dealing with that aspect. For some of these properties are not necessarily the cause issues. They are issues of intelligence community, whether it's in defense or within SSA, that is a state security agency. So that is an area that was not part of the terms of reference. So it's something we still need to have a discussion around, that how it's even handled going forward. Chair, I want to revisit the question around shifting of dates. The dates are not being shifted. I think I tried to explain two issues. One, we've got a target of June 14 to get a compliant asset register. What does compliant mean? It means that we satisfy the accession requirements of the Office of the Accountant General by 2014. We are still pursuing that, and we are still targeting 2014 March as a target. What has happened? The turnaround was started by the Minister. The first person to mend the turnaround started formally on the 1st of June, if memory serves me well. So between then and now, there's been a process of making sure the turnaround is now ingrained in all the processes and the projects we're doing to turn around the department. That is why on slide 5, I made focus on the bottom row, the superimposition of what the turnaround means. Within the context of the turnaround, the deadline of 2014 March coincides with the stabilization phase of the turnaround, before we get into the efficiency management phase when we start to operationalize it. So we are showing, beyond getting compliance, what do you do? You can't stand still and say, now I've got a compliant, I'm going to fold my arms. You must have ensured that by that date, you've got the right platform that will not corrupt the asset register any further. We detailed those achievements in terms of IE work. You must ensure you've got a proper operating model that is properly resourced in terms of human resources, processes, and systems across the border, all the custodians, so that it can function and it is not corrupted again. We've got agreement on that operating model. We just now need to get it funded. The issues of billing. Why is this thing very important? It's important to come stabilization at the end. We'll be in a position to run a billing system. It's trying to encapsulate and add all of those other elements that were not presently visible when you are just dealing with compliance issues. What is the worth and the value of the project? Where does it take us forward? I can't remember the question on human settlement. I think it was not clear. I was going to ask it to be re-asked, DG and chairperson. There was a question on human settlement that I didn't capture it properly. I can't remember who asked it.
Yeah, my question was, how many land has been transferred to human settlement from public work?
Uh, you got to present it. You know how much.
So at the moment in the provinces, the land has been identified as potentially being provincial housing land in conjunction with the work we're doing with DPW somebody in the provinces to investigate that. There's about 60,000 odd land parcels in the nine provinces that have been earmarked or allocated for provincial housing. So that's whether that individual standard have been surveyed and demarcated or whether big parcels of land have been identified for all housing.
Well, from the presentation is that it had been earmarked. The transfer has not been effected yet.
I think this is one of the areas we are going to deal with that particular department, both at the national and the provincial level, because it will look like something that we have left behind in terms of the finishing the process of transferring the land, where it might be used for local housing, and some of the land that may have been part of what was called old business in the housing that which was supposed to have been devolved properly to the determination in terms of the housing act. And those things I'm going to discuss with the future, and then we are planning that also a joint with the housing, with the human settlement sector, so that then we can manage that project as part of the project of dealing with the thing. We need to go through each one of these and understand which of these properties are supposed to be transferred. If there are any of the properties that shouldn't be going there that appear in terms of our analysis to be earmarked for human settlement and are not, they will be sent back to the relevant DPW department.
Thanks, Titi, for that explanation. Physical inspection, the question around the deadline delays. Chair, I think, again, to reiterate, we have indicated we have bureaucratic administrative challenges that led to the delay of around 6 months, including December. That's making us to start on the 1st of May. Now, what does that mean in terms of meeting the target? If you looked at the original plan program that you'll get in the presentation you made in August of last year, you will see it was divided into two tranches. There was a tranche one to do five regional offices and to do the balance of other six. Obviously, with delays, we needed to reorganize that. That is now streamlined into one. There will be no subdivision of tranches. And now it's our task to manage and ensure the physical verification is completed before March, which is very important for us next year, 2014, so that we meet the compliance requirements for us to have a compliant asset register. I've addressed the operation Greenland issue. There's a question that is asking around the credibility of desktop analysis. Now, I'm going to try to find another way of explaining it. You need to go to the authority or the competent office that has to keep the register, which is DEEDS. When we say desktop analysis, we are in interfacing what our asset registers are saying against what the DEEDS register is saying. So maybe the use of the word desktop gives the person a feeling that it is not proper research or proper work. But that is how the system is set up. You need to run the download desk and you need to compare them around with the asset register that you have. So the central process is to establish the baseline. Do we all know what we're working with? How many registered properties are there in this particular country? Do we know against whom? Do they match what has been vested or not vested? And that is the whole process. So the desktop exercise has to be done so we understand the basis on which we are working on. So that when we are giving people working targets, we can say clearly, even Cape Province, there is your backlog. Go and meet your target. Then we can start to manage and monitor whether they are reaching their targets or not. This is the only authority we use. Without the DEEDS registry, we have nowhere to start. Everybody will be subtracting numbers out of their thumbs. But the reality is that that is the only authority when it comes to RSA. And I might want to add that in terms of the Okowa cadastral system and DEEDS registry, we are, if not number one, we are probably number two in the world. I think it's a statistic that is well known out there. So with all of our problems, at least we've got that one right. it's a very well-regarded competency when it comes to the deeds registry. It's not to say it doesn't have its problems. The whole system or process doesn't have problems, but it's a very well-regarded system in the world in terms of a cadastral system and also a deeds registry to know what you own. There's a question around what do we mean by a host of legacy issues. I can sit here and make an example of a whole list of legacy issues, but I will reflect on some of them that we've dealt with now. One, in legacy issue is that K-1994, there was no uniform system process of keeping assets registered in this country. It was paper-based. Some had some level of computerization, but they were not compatible. You couldn't import information across one another. That's one of the legacy issues. Two, you had land tenure systems in the country that were not uniform. One that applied to the white population and another that applied to the black population of South Africa. What is the other legacy issue that we're dealing with? I don't want to go into the consequences of all of these. What is the other legacy I think I've already dealt with when it comes to international portfolio, etc. But I don't want to dwell too much on this because there's a lot of them. We can, if we're asked to make a list, Chair, we can make that list. But the impact on how we actually have to do what we need to do, and we need to manage this. There's a question on the non-implementation of the YAMA at a local level. Chair, there's a management principle that says you cannot disown something because you were not there. You have to own the problems that you inherit. The EG has got a phrase of saying, when you inherit a company, you take assets and liabilities alike. You don't choose to take assets and you forget about the liability. One of our liabilities we are carrying with us is a question on the legislative program. What are we doing with the aspect of extension of Kiyama beyond the 2 years to all the 3 years of government? In the context of the turnaround, where we are, was we have to rationalize and ask ourselves the question, what are the mission critical things we need to do just to stabilize? I have to indicate, in the context of the turnaround, it is not within the 2014 horizon. We have to look at it, we put it in the horizon post-2014 to deal with those legislative issues going forward. Because it is no point of trying to chase 100 issues and achieving none. We have to be strategic and saying, within a time period, which one matters now today to enable us in future to do our job better. So what I'm saying, it's not within the horizon of 2014, but it is post-2014 within the efficiency management phase.
I think probably this is something that may have been overlooked, either because things are easier in public work and better than others. Most departments that have the concurrent function in terms of education have developed enabling legislation that assists, helps them to define the management of that concurrent function between the three spheres of government, understanding and respecting each of the spheres. Define, for example, the role of the national department in terms of policy development, federal legislative requirements, the uniformity of standards, etc., etc. That seems to be our best. What we have in public works at the moment is we only rely on cooperative governance. And unless things fall apart seriously, then you have to go to the local government department to actually assist us in defining or even treasury in making interventions. In housing, for example, the minister is capable of making direct interventions, both in terms of facilitating the provincial housing department, also managing the accreditation of municipalities that are capable, based on their capability to do and perform certain functions. That is absent in this environment. I think that is something that the minister, I know that he is referring beyond 2040, but he has indicated he wants to look at how soon we can start to have a concrete program that deals with that particular challenge, so that at least you can leave an environment that is capable of making sure that you can be able to deal with the three spheres from a national perspective appropriately.
I'd like to ask a follow-up question of the properties
not abroad, but where, in cases where it's been devolved, we have devolved functions. You mentioned SAPS and DIRCO, just two examples. And these are the two kind of departments we often have problems. They say, with lack of money, typically a member of parliament would get complex, you know, they send to us and offer to take it up with the minister. And very typically, police station, the police station, they say, oh, it's in a terrible condition, it's not being maintained, and it belongs to public works. To take up with public works, and in public works, you know, but the police is responsible for the maintenance of the building. And police, you know, but it doesn't belong to us, you know. So they're kind of throwing you back and forth. Now, that's not kind of strictly speaking within the asset rates, but it's kind of evolved. If you still own the building, but you have some sort of an understanding or it's a contract, an agreement, is that spelled out very clearly? Who's responsible for the maintenance of the building and who pays water and light and that kind of thing? So you don't have this kind of the one blaming the other and throwing the bad ball back and forth between them.
Okay, thanks, ma'am. To respond to that specific follow-up question, it is clearly spelled out. And maybe, Chair, through you, there should be a process of maybe making that information available so you know which police stations have been devolved, so you can be in a better position to manage that particular process. Now, when it comes to maintenance, there are two regimes that I explain. If the asset is within the number that has been devolved to you, you are responsible for its maintenance. When it is not devolved to you, you are still responsible for the maintenance up to a certain threshold. It's just that I'm not too sure if the decision was effected. There was a request to increase the threshold of 50,000 if there's an item that is broken to 100,000 to maintain. I'm not too sure if that was a decision that they were made on that, but there's a particular level where the client, all clients, not any, all clients have been given an ability. If you know a door is broken, you go and fix it on yourself. You've got the ability, but you must report back to public works. What typically happens is that clients don't do that. And then when it's convenient for them to be asked why no done it is public work problem. Or assets are allowed to deteriorate to an extent that whatever maintenance is required, you have to now, the cost thereof far outstrips the delegation that they have, and then we have to come in. This is not to say I want to blame clients. I want to say it has been spelled out and all clients know their rights and responsibilities. But it's a management question. And that management question comes back also to public work. How we are managing and monitoring our portfolios. How are we enforcing the obligations on clients that should be performing so that the assets do not deteriorate in value and also in terms of design life.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to go.
Can I go back to that matter?
Yes.
Okay. On the issue of unregistered land, the question was, will we meet the target of March 2013? Robbie is indicating no, but I want to give it context. The question is that we are highly dependent on the work that is being done by the Chief Surveyor General. The Chief Surveyor General needs to tell us, now I've completed land audit, this is what it is telling us, and once we get that, I can answer that question with authority, but we're still engaging to access even further and so that we can get that final audit. It's dependencies, Chair, and portfolio committee members. No.
No. No. 150% agree with him. You won't make it.
But Chair, as much as he can indicatively say that, if I were asking the question, what basis do you have? We still have time. There is still a couple of weeks. We don't know what that information can say. The point is that you can't preempt the judgment of that outcome. The CHE is completing its land audit.
No, Chair, I think I agree with you, really. Because at the moment, we have not met the Surveyor General to say what is the completion date for him to finalize what he's doing. And then you enter with your target. So maybe I don't think you'll make this target. Except if you can say to us, we have met with the Surveyor General, Surveyor General is finishing tomorrow or this week. Now you have got few weeks that you are counting are really not practical before getting the top of the Surveyor General.
That is our situation. What the minister will publicly say, by 2013 March will be done, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Because if we raise this expectation, you will go publicly say, no, as a minister, 2013 March will be done and it won't. Don't walk away. I don't know how you're going to put it, but I don't think it will happen. Yes, Robbie.
Can I perhaps just intervene here? I think the authority the registered land parcel, the big piece of work we've been doing with deeds to understand what is state land, this analysis here that's transpired into this number of 32,000 registered land parcels that are seen to be national custodial function. If you look at the old EPW register, there's about 4,500 structures on unregistered land. That is what we know. But we know, as the Deco said earlier on, that the CSG is still busy surveying all the land. So the reason I'm shaking my head is that we currently know of this in our register. I mean, the interaction that presentation we've received at Minmec and the CSG is that they, in conjunction with the province, have done extensive surveys of land. I think the numbers that they've shown are multiples of this at this stage.
Okay.
I think that's the only concern I have is that can we in the last remaining 6 weeks that we have, or 8 weeks that we have, wrap our mind around, even the province themselves haven't fully analyzed that information to say, this is mine and this is national, So we need to still have that engagement with the province to say, you must do your bit, you asked for this land to be surveyed. Some of it are schools, so those are yours. Some of them are police stations on bigger complexes, which are ours. I think that's what we're grappling with from our, and I'm a bit hesitant to say, you know, will we get all that data for 13? For 14, for 13,
Chair, the point is taken, but I'll say two things. I've got a job to manage a consultant to deliver, and please don't make my work difficult. And secondly, the job of leadership is you must inspire confidence, even if you know that things are not looking very good. There's a question, I don't know if the DG wants to deal with it. The question that was raised around the term of office of the portfolio committee, around the timelines. All I can say on my side is that the dates are in no way constructed so that we disempower our accounting responsibility. That is, we don't go back to parliament and account. They are not designed so that comes the next administration, they are disempowered to make decisions. But I don't know, I think I want to leave that one to DG. It's not by design to disempower parliament in terms of oversight function. There's an issue that was raised around Port St. John's. I think I will take that information in, but if I can share just something in terms of what I have come to know to date in terms of what is happening there, is that a lot of the structures, the buildings that were built in and around Port St. John's were done on TTO's land, permission to occupy land. They were never per se today, they were state lands. They were people who invested, put up assets in the state. It was based on permission to occupy. But I'm not saying that's the absolute answer that's authority. I just want to say there's a problem around that. A lot of land in that area was developed on the basis of PTOs, which has generated its own set of problems going forward. But you cannot trade those assets for the private owners. And also that, remember, you've got permission to occupy. Once the owner of that land decides they no longer want you to occupy that, you must get out. And you've got a problem of asset that was an improvement of the land. These are some of the legacy issues we need to manage. These are some of how the developments are managed in some of the former TBBC states. They were based on a PTO basis. And the rule of law is simple. The owner of the land owns the asset. It raises a number of questions in terms of even how we make sure there's an adequate footprint of state and to reach out to the rural community. And all the obligations of the DFMA that I cannot invest public money to the enrichment of a private individual. I just want to check if there's anything that I have not covered, DG. You will advise.
Chair, I think there's a wealth of information you've given me. I don't know whether anyone of us know what happened to the 30 million. I think we'll have to find out. Do you want to say anything about it?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Didi.
And the fifth.
Didi, the 30 million that was allocated for the immovable asset register program, the 30 million was not allocated for the one financial year. It was allocated for the three financial years, meaning from 2005 to 2008, 10 million each. Now, only 33,000 land parcels were identified to be verified and linked. The main objective of that exercise was to link land parcels with improvements in the asset register. Previously, you would find, and we still have some of them, land parcels that are not linked to improvements. So there is no way you can have a building that exists on land. So basically, people have to go down on site and go and check if the land parcel is defined as follows, as per the property description in the register, what is sitting on top of it. It was only limited to 33,000 properties, and it was 10 million for the three financial years. It was not addressing some of the sections, as the acting COO had said. If we are to pass the audit test, five assessments to pass. Completeness, valuation, accuracy, existence, and rights and obligation. It was only focused on a limited scope. 30,000. Or 33,000 land parcels, yes. Yes.
I'm told, and I don't know what the
We will follow it up, but I do know that there is one of the legal systems still has been developed in part, which we are enhancing in order to make sure that it fits within the current requirements. I think that we will provide you with concrete information about this, but in writing.
The
answer
that you're talking about, that was talking about looking for, are you also including under ground assets? Are you also including rivers? You would want to know who owns rivers in South Africa. Who owns the sea? Who owns wild animals around the Yes. They could be a registered person in the traffic state. On your way to the hotel, what is it? There are animals there. Yeah, something like that. We should all have a record of all those animals. Record of all the baobab trees in the country, how many are they? If I'm not mistaken, they also make it in the zoo. We made a recommendation for the local that with underground assets, they need to use a system that is used by the fence on detecting landmines. Because we want to know how many water pipes are there. We all want to know, I'm sure in all the assets that we are talking about, we are also including those assets. Because those assets were bought by tax payers money. So those are the things that we want to know whether they are being used. The mountains, who owns it? The oceans, whatever, all those others. Officer of the Auditor General is here. Officer of the Auditor General, do you have anything to say?
No, citizen, maybe like mentioned that the Auditor General has been part of the processes that has been mentioned. They've attended the MINMEC and they're aware of the developments as they are presented. I've noted some of the issues that came out of the presentation and I will forward them to the responsible auditors that are engaged in the audit of the department.
Also commonly known as infrastructure assets to some extent. There was pipes, roads, dams, bridges, etc. So as part of the physical verification process that we're doing on these land parcels identified, these types of assets will be identified. In other words, if there are structures other than accommodation or buildings or warehouses or garages or residential buildings, you know, things like, but I think at this stage where we're at, I don't think we're not at the stage we're going to dig up the ground or look for underground pipes or underground rivers or that kind of thing. I think at this stage, to get to where we need to get it from a baseline compliant aspect for 2014, But we would, as part of that project, definitely note things like runways at defense airports, at defense sites, or dams, or sewage work on site, or you know. So those infrastructure assets will definitely be taken on as part of the asset count in this round. But I think, from a point of view of refining it to the extent of certain underground issues, etc., I think that must come as part, as in physically, as part of that late phase, that efficiency phase going forward. To refine it and to define precisely why we want to know that and what we need it for. But I think for now, we just want to get the basic right and get all that stuff on that, you know, that we are required to at this stage.
And then the question is what in the portfolio committee was that? The system that is used by defense, it's so expensive that they cannot manage to get it. So if that was the answer given at that particular time, what will make you to be able to detect without using the system that we're referring to? Honorable Mazopa?
No, thanks. No, I think it's something that we require because it's part of asset. I know that at a local level they have, because now they have tried to identify the underground assets. Using following the GRAP system, GRAP 17, that they follow. That's why most of them, they are disqualified in the audit because of those underground assets. I think if we can start now, I know now that we are focusing on the compliance. I'm clear that now we are focusing on the compliance, but stabilization, as you termed it, but also the issue of accuracy, when we go to accuracy beyond 2014, whether it will be part to really focus on it because it's part of the asset. I don't know whether that's the understanding when President was presenting to say that we first focus on the compliance stabilization and then after 2014 we focus on the accuracy. I think that accuracy must be an accurate information on the asset register.
Are there any other follow-up questions, honorable members? On that note, I think we need to close this meeting. DG, have anything to say?
No, Chair. Except to say we would like to thank the members of the committee for engaging. I do hope that we have captured all the some of the issues that that we couldn't definitively respond to. Okay? But I think some of the inputs we received are going to assist us. Including those areas that are part of the blind spot in the project. We hope that by the time we report again, we will show some progress. I need to caution that this project is a very complex project. I had an experience of limited from defense, but for a limited portfolio, and it was complicated, even in that level. But I think the only thing I can give you, Chair, and the members of the committee, is that we are committed to finally resolve this issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
DC,
can we agree that in the next presentation on a roadmap and key milestones, can you not start from January 13? Can you maybe start from 2008? Because this started early, around 2008 when we started this asset register, so that we can able to compare and see if there is any improvement. Because if we start from January 13, to me it doesn't say anything. It looks like we are starting from the scratch. But if it starts from 2008, which is this improvement, maybe it might assist us in understanding better. And the other very sensitive question is this. DG, in signing your contract with consultants, is there a clause where it says after the completion of the asset register, the consultants will make sure that they don't remain with a single asset register or with a single information, everything will be submitted to public works? There anything in the contract that everything will be given to government and it will not remain with anything?
Can I answer on behalf of the DG with his permission? chairperson, it used to be the case. We made it sure that when we enter into contract with the it is state property. It's not the information that belongs to the consultant, but it belongs to the customer. So the information doesn't only come at the end, it comes as and when it's collected. So we are able to even track properly what is going on the program. So as and when the information is collected and it's cleansed, it comes to the department. So that's under control.
Is there a clause? That's what I'm asking.
But I know that elsewhere where I come from, we always have the standard clause. The intellectual property is related to this property because it belongs to who pays for it.
Lastly, there's a request from Honorable Gayla. It says, can we get a list of DDGs as per their program? Okay. Honorable member is asking information to say who are these new DDGs that are attached to programs that are there. On paper. Administration is done on paper.
Okay, we'll do that.
Thank you very much. On that note, thank you very much for the presentation and enjoy the rest of the day. Honorable Dreyer.
Can I also ask a question? Not today. We'll ask in a minute.
Okay, and then all right, let me allow officers to go, everybody to go, and the members remain.
I can also put the mouse, not conservation.
Okay.
Is this lawsuit that our previous members asked for information on this particular device? For example, on the presidential front, not state countries like Timor or something, we said we want to have a look because there's a huge overstate on state functions. We asked them to give us a list of all the functions and the cost of each one. Have they said this? And if they haven't, can we call it up and ask them if we want it? Because they can't.
The procedure is that the secretary must write a letter to them so that it is so, she said it skipped her mind and then she will say. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. Is that all? Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.